Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Final hour of Grant and Danny. Welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. Always appreciate that you guys make this show part of your busy schedules. Thank you for doing so. The big story in the NFL today is that the deadline has passed for players to opt out. 67 of them decided that they would not participate in league play this year. Andy Ross is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He is an NFL agent, represents players all over the league, Pro Bowl caliber talent as well, and several players here in Washington. And he joins us to discuss the tough decision that guys just made. Andy, appreciate you. Welcome back on the show. How are you?
Good. Hey, what's up, Grant? Hey, Danny.
Hey, man.
So let's start with this. I mean, when you're talking to your clients, and we don't have to get into specifics, but just so people know, you represent guys here in town like Morgan Moses and Ali Marpet in Tampa Bay and some other guys who are, you know, players who have been starters and make a lot of money for many, many years. What types of things were going into their decision? And while you only had one player, I think, of all your clients opt out, I mean, was it something where a lot of guys were actually giving it heavy consideration?
Yeah, I mean, it's one, we're in a unique situation this year. So everything is about education and making sure you have the right information at your hands to be able to make the best decision for you. I'm fortunate to represent four guys who are NFL team reps for their teams. So they have to discuss all these situations with all of their players on the team. So I had a lot of discussions, not just with my guys, whether they would be opting out or staying, but it was more of just, hey, let's talk through all the different scenarios. And so when I talked to a lot of my players, it was really to talk about the pros and cons, right? Understanding, you know, if you were to opt out, what was the money going to look like? Also, you know, how was your contract? Was it going to toll in the future? What were your medical benefits? Things like that. Also, in addition to that, what are the teams going to be looking like? You know, what are they going to be doing inside the facilities to make sure that they're protected? And so a lot of those conversations, especially with my clients, were to go through the pros and cons and make sure that they were prepared to make the decision that was best for them.
Andy, this is such a cutthroat league. I mean, I can't remember the name of the coach who I saw said this somewhere on a Hard Knocks, but it kind of an intro to rookies at a symposium coming to the league. He said, congratulations on making the league. You're now in the process of being replaced. That's how this league works. It churns folks out. And this is kind of the awkward part of this. But so let me just ask you, were guys, do you think, maybe afraid of losing their spots, losing positions, and was there pressure there to maybe opt in if they were on the fence because of that risk of if they sit out, they're out of sight, out of mind, and this league replaces people so fast?
Well, one, it's a great question. I think that when you're looking at players and they're evaluating whether to opt in or opt out of the league this year because of COVID, you know, these guys all made it to where they are by being competitive. You can look at it from a business standpoint and say, okay, if I wasn't going to make the team, can I collect my $150,000? I can't speak for every guy in that situation, or actually maybe making $350,000 because of a medical opt-out. But, you know, they're all competitive. They all think that they're going to come in and make the team. If you're one of the 80 players on the roster, you're not going in there thinking you're just going to be a camp body. So because of their competitive nature, I do believe that the guys were really looking at you know, this process and saying, hey, you know, what's really about being safe more so than saying, hey, I'm just going to try and collect a check. I'm not saying that that didn't happen, but, you know, I don't think that that was a major factor.
Andy Ross.
Otherwise, you would have had a lot more than 67. Sorry.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt with us on Grant and Danny. All right, so explain this for me and all of our listeners. The fact that you got to pay the money back, like how that's actually going to work. So 150 went to guys who opted out healthy, 350 to higher risk guys. If I'm wrong about that, tell me. And then how does it work on the back end next year?
So if you're a medical opt out, so that means you have a prior medical situation such as, you know, cancer, or you have a COPD or a kidney issue. If you have one of these situations that or illnesses that are part of the medical opt-out rules, at that point you get the 350, your contract tolls, but you don't have to pay that money back. Now, if you do a voluntary opt-out, which is $150,000, your contract tolls, but at that point it's a salary advance. So a year from now, so say you're making $1 million in salary, that contract tolls. So next year your salary would still be $1 million, but because you collected the 150, you now are going to be making 850 a year from now.
Andy Ross with us here on Grant and Danny, NFL agent for a number of players around the league. And Andy, without breaking any kind of confidentiality here, did you advise anybody not to play and then they went ahead and played anyway?
No, I didn't. That's not really my job, because every player has different situations that they've been faced with. So they might have a family member or known somebody that was affected by COVID, and so that might give them a different perspective on this virus. Then you have other players that haven't been exposed to it, and so they might have a different perspective. So my job wasn't to ever advise them one way or the other. My job was really just to listen to them and really advise them based on their criteria and what they were looking for and what answers they were getting, to be specific to them.
Now, it seemed to me like every team handles this a little bit differently. Some are going to do better than others. I mean, if your guys have complaints, do they come to you? Do they just go to their player reps? And give us an idea, not necessarily, I guess, team specific, but in terms of how different teams are handling it, like some of the things you've heard from some of your guys.
You know, I actually reached out to Tampa Bay and let them know just how appreciative I was and how they communicated everything with their players. Ali Marpet is their NFLPA rep there, but the way they communicated with all 80 players on their roster was really, really well done. The Baltimore Ravens as well, you know, the way they've set up their entire facility right now has been really great. I have one of my rookies there this year. And, you know, at first it was very, very separate from each other. But the guys have adjusted and really been able to adjust well and go out there to get ready to compete. I mean, we're not going to be on the field in pads until, I believe, it's August 21st. So there's a very long adjustment period.
So speaking of that, this is such an unusual year, not only for NFL players, but for obviously everybody in the whole world. But in terms of readiness for the league, how are guys doing their best to prepare for that without doing the normal steps that the teams take, without preseason games, without some of the hat on a hat, without some of the, you know, the normal kind of ramp up? How are guys going to get ready?
Well, a lot of guys spent time this off season actually, you know, working out at different facilities, working out in their own homes, preparing themselves for the season. I mean, look, these guys are professionals. They know what they need to do to get their bodies right. One of my clients, when I brought up the preseason issue from a preseason game standpoint, he said, we never had a preseason game when we were in college, and we went right out and we played. So just because we're not having preseason games doesn't mean we're not going to be ready. And, you know, I believe all my guys are professionals. I believe the majority of the players out there are professionals, prepared themselves. And if a guy didn't prepare himself, he's probably not going to be on your team. So, you know, you want guys that are going to put in the time and the effort. And I think I'd mentioned you before, but, you know, I actually had some of my guys on the Redskins actually working out at my house during COVID. I have a home gym, and, you know, they were sitting there, you know, working out together and lifting in my basement in my home gym. And, you know, I could hear the loud music and really getting after it, and it was pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, I saw a video at one point of Tim Settle working out down there. By the way, he looks great. He's in awesome shape, one of your clients who's here in Washington. He was working out with Ziggy Hood, who you repped, who is now coaching here in Washington as well. So you're represented pretty well over there in Ashburn. Andy Ross is with us on Grant and Danny. How much harder do you anticipate it being? Quantify for me the road ahead for undrafted free agents this year without those preseason games to impress. Those guys are going to be hurt by that. And then without the traditional training camp, but also just your rookie class, you know, trying to play well when they get their opportunities, even high draft picks who know they're going to make the team. Give us an idea of just how different it's going to be for those types of players this year.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's going to be a big challenge. The off-season program and training camp, you know, is really, really important for the young guys because they have the install of a new playbook. It's acclimating to what it's like to be a pro, not just, you know, inside the locker room and on the field, but, you know, life, right? This is a major life adjustment, these guys going from college into the pros. And so, you know, I do think that's going to be something that is a little bit more of a challenge. There's going to be a little bit more of a learning curve. And so when you have a team that has a lot of young players on it, that might take a little bit longer for these guys to adjust. However, if you have great senior leadership on your team, you know, like the Redskins that they have in their D-line room, you know, that's going to be something that's going to be really powerful when you have a really, really good group of players that can really help bring these young guys along. And, you know, I think that the teams that do have more veteran leadership on their team are going to do a little bit better than some of the teams that are younger.
Andy, thank you for joining us, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. Good luck. Be safe.
We'll see you, pal.
Absolutely. Be well. Right, bye-bye. Great to have a current NFL agent on who's dealing with a lot of these things with his players just to answer some of these questions from a perspective we don't often get. He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Next, three things we're excited about in sports this weekend. We will see where our lists intertwine. You can go with any of the games on the docket, anything that you're going to get at a time where we're drinking through a fire hose as sports fans. We'll give you our top three for the weekend next on The Fan. The sale of the XFL to the group that includes The Rock is official. Went through this morning. So The Rock's going to try to put the defibrillators to the XFL and revive it. We'll have more on that as the show, as we get details. But I'm excited, and I hope he can touch something else that turns to gold, because that league was fun, and I was enjoying it. And then it, poof, went away like so many other things during COVID. Grant and Danny, welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. All right, let's go with our big three of the weekend. Three things in sports we are excited about. We can count them down. Danny, you get us started at number three.
This is three games, all in my one answer here. I need the Nationals to win baseball games. The not winning a baseball game is not as fun as when they are winning baseball games. The Orioles are pretty dreadful, even though the standings don't indicate that. But prime opportunity, regardless of who's on the mound for you, please hit, please score runs, please beat the Baltimore Orioles multiple times. Two out of three would be nice. Three out of three would be just grand. So that is something I've got circled on the calendar. 2:05 starts, then a midday piece, Sunday, 12:35 post-Meridian against the Orioles.
It has lost the luster normally of that Nats-Orioles first series where there's bragging rights and we get to talk some trash and talk about D.C. and Baltimore and take calls all day long. It's, like so many other things, it just doesn't quite feel the same, but you're right. That'll be a lot of fun. More on that coming up in my big three. I'm going to start at number three as NASCAR Paulson with the old double dip this weekend. This is pretty cool. So the big boys in the Cup Series are racing on Saturday and Sunday. They are racing in Michigan, back-to-back races, Danny. So this is the Firekeepers Casino 400 tomorrow at 4 o'clock and the Consumers Energy 400 on Sunday. My guy, Eric Jones, Joe Gibbs Racing, who I picked at the beginning of the year. Big news for the 20 car last night. Will not be coming back, Danny, to Joe Gibbs Racing next year. He is going out on his own. He's going to have to find a new ride. So there's a big debate for me now. Do I follow Eric Jones to his new team? Do I have to pick another Joe Gibbs racer?
Why are you leaving Joe Gibbs? That seems dumb.
If Eric Jones leaves, he's the driver I've decided I like. What do I do? I'm not sure yet. We'll have to wait and see where he ends up. But bottom line is they got two races, both in Michigan, 156 laps, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. So I get to double dip with NBC Sports back-to-back days. So that's number three on my list. What do you got, number two?
NBA action. I will have a specific NBA item teaser coming up. But Damian Lillard, must-watch television. He's incredible during the bubble. He had 11 threes last night. They played the Clippers on Saturday. Michael Porter Jr., a guy that I told you to watch out for, 30-15 average basically over his last couple games for the Denver Nuggets. They got a marquee matchup or two. And as you start to look around, Boston-Toronto tonight. What else did I have? I had one other game that I wanted to highlight, and well, actually, I covered it with Philadelphia and Portland. Point is, good quality NBA action. Oh, Milwaukee-Dallas, that's another one I wanted to highlight. Luka versus Giannis. But all throughout the weekend, sprinkled some interesting, fun, meaningful basketball matchups here over the weekend.
Number two for me, I will go with the aforementioned Nat series. More specifically, though, it's Patrick Corbin Day. I love watching Patrick Corbin pitch. That has been the case for me dating back to when he was in Arizona because I like nasty sliders. I don't know why. I've just always kind of gravitated to that pitch more than the curveball, the kind of downward breaker. I like that lateral, slurvy breaking pitch that Patrick Corbin breaks off. Last year with the Nats in his first season in 33 starts, punched out 238 batters in 202 innings. He has struck out 11.1 and 10.6 batters per nine the last 2 years. He's already got 16 Ks in 12 innings this year. He is pitching to a 3 ERA through his two starts. He's been very effective. Love watching Patrick Corbin, who right now is leading all of baseball in strikeouts to walks. 12 Ks per 9, 0.8 walks per 9. So let me see Patrick Corbin go out and throw 7 innings of one-run ball with 11 punchies against the Birds. I'll put that number 2 on my list.
Zion Williamson. The Wizards are out of it. They're over in the Michael Bublé. That's fine. I don't really care necessarily about that. No Beal, no Bertans, and even if they got in, they'd be cannon fodder for a one-seater, a two-seater, whomever. That's not important. I can't take my eyes off Zion Williamson. Even though this bubble has not been that kind to him, he has not looked like the guy that we all, as a country, as a sports-loving public, fell in love with. Looks a little bit slower, a little bit less explosive. You know, a guy that didn't have a great body as it was coming in, looks even a little bit softer, maybe a step slow. He's still incredible. Still absolutely mesmerizing to watch him go about his business, even on a minutes restriction. But I can't wait to watch him. Zion Williamson versus the Wizards tonight. I will be glued to my television watching that guy go about his business. He could just sort of cruise his way without having a play run form or anything else to 20-10. And that's kind of what he's done. It's so much fun to watch that guy play.
You once sponsored Casper mattresses, didn't you? Did that happen in your life?
Yes.
Did you ever get a Casper mattress that showed up in your house in a box and you brought it to life, you let it out of that box, and then you put it on your bed and you laid on it and you slept comfortably, right? Did that happen?
Oh, 100% that happened. I love Casper mattress.
I can tell this because of how comfortably right now you are just sound asleep. You need an alarm clock. You have slept in. We're calling you to find out where you are, and your wife is having to track you down at home. Danny Ruye, there are not one, not two. There are 6 elimination games in the NHL ongoing today. And soon enough into the weekend, the Washington Capitals, hopefully with John Carlson back, are playing a must-have game against the Bruins where they're going to have to ramp this sucker up so they're not the 4 seed going into the playoffs, their last tune-up. So they're going to be playing some important hockey on Sunday, but it starts today. 6 games. Right now, the Islanders lead the Florida Panthers 3-1 in the middle of the second period. Then we got Nashville, Arizona. Then we got the Penguins on Sidney Crosby's 33rd birthday. Could get bounced by Montreal tonight. It could happen.
It'd be a shame.
Starting at 4 o'clock. Edmonton, Chicago, another 12 versus a 5, where the 5 is at risk of being eliminated. Toronto and Columbus after a crazy 4-goal comeback last evening for Columbus. 6 elimination games, and then the weekend of hockey ends with the Caps and the Bruins on Sunday. Let's go, Danny. Get up off that Casper mattress.
I would have had the Capitals in my 3 because obviously it's important. had they not played so horrendously last night, that I'm now a little bit resigned. Yep, they're the four seed. Let's see if they can get their act together for the postseason. That dampened my enthusiasm a little bit. It probably shouldn't have, because I love beating Boston. I love when Boston loses. When Boston loses, it's good for everybody, not from Boston. And it's even good for Boston people. They need to experience some losses. Another 100 years or so ought to do it. But that's my why. That's my why. I'm sure that's the phrase. That's why my enthusiasm.
No, it is your why. You have to know your why. Robert
Griffin
taught
us that
20 years ago. Your why is Boston losing. You've always said that.
Know your Wi-Fi. Yeah, that's always fun. But I need the Capitals to play better. So my enthusiasm dampened a bit by how poorly they played last night and really the first half of that Tampa game. They should have been in my top three, but they were also receiving votes.
Caps road to the cup on 106.7 The Fan. I dropped a 106.7. I'm like one of those people that walks around and does tours at the radio station. Huh. Driven by LindsayCars.com. Over 1,700 vehicles to choose from, all backed by the Lindsay family name and reputation you know and trust. You will love it at Lindsay, LindsayCars.com. You can listen to the Caps on Sunday right here on The Fan. If you want to listen to the Nats, 6:05 tonight, Charlie and Dave have your call as they start their aforementioned series with the Orioles. Next, the position group we're breaking down today, Washington football secondary, right here on The Fan. First year Bonds becoming the all-time home run leader to mention that he should be in the Hall of Fame. It's a museum, and you know, people are capable of adding context for themselves. And you would have thought I said that Ronnie Belliard should be in the Hall of Fame, or that Steve Lombardozzi should be in the Hall of Fame because of some big base hit he had when I was at a game or something ridiculous. Jeff Rabelais needs to be in the Hall of Fame, or it's not a Hall of Fame. I mean, people are seemingly pretty bothered. I didn't realize that that take is so scalding, and that if you actually polled the public, I would have thought he'd get in a landslide, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
I think you're wrong about it. I think you're correct in that he should, but I think the public they can't get past it. That kind of cheating, anabolic steroids or HGH, or whatever you want to call it, artificial muscles, for some reason is the bridge too far. Other kinds of cheating they're fine with. They're fine with guys that, you know, committed crimes off the field or whatever. But they're two bridges too far. Gambling on the sport, Pete Rose, and steroids. They just can't handle it for whatever reason. And, again, I'm not endorsing it. I'm not saying that steroids is right. I'm not saying gambling on sports is right. But Major League Baseball decided eligibility for those players. When they were on the field, what did they do? And when you accumulate a Hall of Fame resume, you go into the Hall of Fame. It's very simple to me. The moral authority or the questioning of certain things but not other things, which one of Barry's 762 was steroid-aided, which one wasn't? Because he was hitting 40 a year before. Now, that wasn't 70, two or whatever the hell it was. That's ridiculous. Of course steroids helped him, okay? But what's illegitimate about Alex Rodriguez's homers? Or were any of, which one of Sammy Sosa's 609 are you counting and not counting? People here's what they do, and I'm arguing with someone on Twitter right now. They just go, he cheated. I go, yep, he cheated. He cheated. And that's their response over and over and over again. And they say it in different ways. Cheated,
but lots of guys
he.
In the Hall of Fame.
He's
cheated.
A cheater.
Plenty,
of course.
Plenty of guys who use steroids are getting in all the time. For whatever reason, we don't have either the evidence on or speculate about as much. And it seems like no one cares. I mean, whoever made the Hall of Fame some like moral compass for decency or who did right and who did wrong, and we don't care about amphetamines when they were the best thing at people's disposal in terms of enhancing their availability and their play. But we do care about PEDs, which are a better, bigger drug because years passed and we got smarter making drugs, I guess, as a society in a weird way. I mean, it's all very strange to me, but what's odd is this. I get, like, we had our buddy Chris call in and bring some energy earlier, who listens every day and calls all the time. And Chris is, oftentimes I disagree with him, but he's always opinionated and he can back it up and he has good arguments and I like his calls a lot. Like, his point was, and I can understand this, he said, Barry Bonds is not the home run king, which I disagree with for the record, and we disagreed on the call. He said, but he is a Hall of Famer. I can't imagine someone who saw Barry Bonds play and knows he was one of the best players that ever lived before he ever touched steroids, before he ever started hitting 60 or 70 home runs, not thinking that guy should be in the Hall of Fame. But anyway, that was revealing to me, just seeing some of the responses to that tweet. So I would have – sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and I would have just thought if we polled the public and they got to decide Barry Bonds' fate, he gets in, and maybe it's not that simple. All right, really quickly, the Washington football secondary. We're going position by position, and we'll have more time to break this down in the weeks ahead. But I thought today would be a good day to just look at where they're at right now. So here's what we're dealing with, Danny. At cornerback, they signed Kendall Fuller, $10 million a year. You would say, theoretically, he's the number one. But everyone I've talked to has told me that he's going to play on the inside as often as possible. Now, against two receiver sets, you're paying him what you're paying him. Maybe he goes outside. And then there's a competition between, I would think, Fabian Moreau, Ronald Darby, Jimmy Moreland for a starting spot. Mm-hmm. I think in the nickel against three receivers, you're going to see Moreau and either Darby or Moreland on the outside. And you'll see Kendall Fuller on the inside. Other corners in the mix are Aaron Colvin, who was here at the end of last year, Greg Stroman, a former seventh-round pick out of Virginia Tech, and Danny Johnson, a former college free agent going back to 2018, who's been injured a bunch, but who they really liked in that 2018 training camp. That's your cornerback list. We talk about wide receiver not having many proven commodities. Darby is a name who's getting paid a lot of money over the last several years, but he hadn't played that great and he hadn't been healthy. Kendall Fuller is probably the best of the bunch right now.
Yeah, I mean, and he's getting paid like an outside starter, you know? I mean, I understand recognizing the value of the slot corner. I think they were – I think sometimes, and this happens in sports, where you're sick of your weakness, even though it could be weak for everybody and not prioritized by everybody, and you say, screw it, we're breaking the bank for this. I think they got tired of getting beat up at slot corner. I really do. And I think they said, well, even if we have to overpay – we're going to overpay for that. And if they're going to just basically make Kendall Fuller a slot corner, then that's an overpay. I like the player. I think he's good. I think he'll be okay if he's got to be outside in certain sets. And, you know, I think he'll be fine, even though he didn't perform great there in Kansas City, according to smart people that I've read. But if he's just a slot guy, then that's an overpay. I mean, to me, the key to this entire thing, though, is Jimmy Moreland. If Jimmy Moreland is not just neat, adorable training camp project that everyone likes to over-talk about because he broke up a pass that time or had a diving interception and it's on the news over and over and over and over and over again. If he's a bona fide NFL cornerback, this secondary is very different to me because it lets Fuller be flexible. It lets it takes some pressure off of guys like who he touched on, like Moreau and Darby and maybe safeties and Landon Collins most specifically to have to cover and do more things and let him play more downhill if Jimmy Moreland can actually do it.
Yeah, it's a good point. Moreland's pivotal, and I would put Moreau in the same category, by the way. Moreau, I thought, really, really got exposed in the nickel. Some guys cannot play inside, but can play outside. And I actually think this is completely anecdotal and might even sound dumb saying it, but just looking at his body, he looks like an outside corner, not an inside corner. He is really muscular and kind of like tightly wound. He does not look limmy and long and kind of you know, like a guy that changes pace. I think of more of a coupe, you know, like a car that's bobbing and weaving through traffic on the inside. And you might be a little bit bigger and more physical on the outside. And I think Moreau's a better fit out there. He played way better outside at the end of last year. So I'm hopeful that at left or right corner, he'll have a chance out by the boundary to excel. But that's not a well-built or great area, but at least you've got some young talent there. Safety is a little bit less competitive, I'd say. I think, just let's assume health for a second. Landon Collins, your obvious starter at strong. Sean Davis is going to start at free. You bring over from Pittsburgh. If not for an injury, he would have been a starter on a pretty good defense last year. Jeremy Reeves and DeShazer Everett competing with Troy Apke for those backup roles. And you're going to be special teams ace slash third, fourth guy in. I would think Apke could make the team based on his speed, but remember, he was a fourth-round pick by another regime. Ron Rivera's not going to care about that now, so you know, he all of a sudden becomes a lot more expendable. So he's got to outplay Reeves to be the last safety in. I think Everett, who's great on teams, probably makes it as the third safety. And then there's a competition for that last spot unless they keep all five.
I always really liked what I saw from Jeremy Reeves. And it's, you know, it's always hard to pinpoint what's real, what's not, because it was preseason action. It was sort of fill-in time, and you never really were sure what was real and what your eyes were telling you. It was very September call-up-y. But I always liked Reeves. Not flashy, not a world beater, not super fast. So I would lean him over Apke, who looks fast, I mean, on TV, but it's like he's not in the right spot a lot. And, you know, how valuable is he when it comes down to to the end. I'd rather have an everyday Eddie, a dependable guy, than I would the occasional flash of speed if I'm talking as a backup. But, you know, it'll be a numbers game for those last kind of couple safety spots there. Again, the key to that one is, can Landon Collins be the free roamer, can be the playmaker, can be the menace, the guy that hits and forces fumbles and ends up close to the line of scrimmage, covering tight ends and tackling and forcing some turnovers and some chaos. He can be freed up to do that if Sean Davis is the real deal. And that's the key right there, right?
Yes, because you need Collins to be, I don't want him to be the best player on the defense, but to be making game-changing plays, you know, impactful, a Pro Bowl, all-pro type, not just because of what you're paying him, but because that's the caliber of player he is, and that's how you would free him up to do that. The only play I can really think of Troy Apke making in 2 years is his pick against Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco.
Yeah, he had a pick.
He intercepted a pass in that deluge. Remember that awful, rainy, terrible day at FedEx Field? It was probably the grossest weather game, maybe
like
outside of a snow game against the Chiefs, that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Being there, it was soaking wet the entire day. But I remember Apke picking off a pass in that game. But in 2 years, that's kind of all I remember. I mean, he's made a couple plays on specials, but I think he's broken up maybe one or two passes. But he's going to have to flash more often with a new regime now if he's going to make the roster. Next on Grant and Danny, this date in Nats history, plus some news out of Major League Baseball, yet another game postponed because of positive coronavirus tests. We'll tell you who and what it means in just a minute. James Sarnia of The Athletic just reported that Pelicans big man Zion Williamson will sit out tonight against Washington to rest the second half back-to-back. So sources are telling him no Zion tonight against the Wiz. So that makes that game a little bit less interesting.
With all due respect, yes, it does. New Orleans is fighting for its playoff lives. They're pretty much donezo, kind of the death knell for them. But, yeah, that's nowhere near as exciting. I'll be honest with you. Watching Zion trot around there for 20 minutes a night, still scoring 24 points a game. I mean, it's like what good players do in 12 and under rec ball in the NBA. He's so much fun to watch, and I don't get to watch him. So I'm bummed about that.
This date in Nats history, we've been talking about this off and on today from the perspective of Bonds, not from the perspective of D.C. and the Nationals. Mike Baksik was on the hill on this date 13 years ago when Bonds against the Nationals became the home run king, and Charlie Slows was on the call.
Into the windup now. 3-2 again to Bond. Swung on, hit deep to right center field. Way back goes Kearns. He's at the wall, and it is gone! Goodbye! That's the one! Home run number 756. The road to history for Barry Bonds is over. He is baseball's all-time leader in home runs with 756. The jog toward home plate, and his son Nikolai puts his hands around his dad as Bonds looks up to the sky and points upwards. The Giants' dugout is emptied. They're all waiting one by one by one to congratulate Barry Bonds as fireworks blast off from beyond AT&T Park from McCovey Cove.
Couple fun notes about that. The Nationals actually won that game, if despite how people might remember it, which is utterly bizarre. Chad Cordero got the save. Our pal, our guy, Kevin Franzen, the shortstop for the San Francisco Giants in that ball game. And that's Bruce Bochy's first year going to a Hall of Fame caliber career as a manager for the Giants. A couple World Series titles in there. But, an amazing moment. Bonds 3-for-3, record-setting home run, and then ultimately replace after going out into left field, and the ovations were just thunderous, and it was incredible. And what an amazing moment that was. And Mike Baksik, forever part of history.
Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, a note before we get out of here, with just a couple of minutes left in the show. The Cubs and the Cardinals series opener scheduled for tonight is not going to happen. An eighth positive test for a Cardinals player came back in their latest batch of testing. So because of a new positive, it means they can't start their series that was supposed to get underway tonight against the Cubs. So they have postponed this game today. And we've talked about this, Danny, but you know, I know they have eight positive tests come back, but they've had seven for a few days now. This is the eighth. This is the latest one that's been added to that. And this is what they do. If they get another positive test or if a team gets a positive test, they shut that team down, and it looks like they're going to wait and then try to make up doubleheaders later in the year. It's not what we expected when the season started, but it's certainly where we are now. This is how baseball is trying to get through this year.
Yeah, and it's, again, the reason you get this specific permutation is the delay in testing results, right? So if you think you've got it under control and you don't have any new positives for, you know, a couple days, you feel more comfortable going out there. But I think it's because they got another positive test back. It means that, in all likelihood, you've got a more spread. So you've got to, you know, postpone it until you get those results back. The delay in test results is going to be, if there's anything, the undoing for Major League Baseball trying to have a season.
All right, Danny, at the risk of you making me look like a fool, which you love to do when I ask this question.
Oh, no.
Because you never have a good answer for it. I'm going to ask it anyway and let you ruin my time. What are you planning for dinner tonight?
I have no idea. How could anyone know what's for dinner tonight? I don't know what I'm having for lunch in 2.5 minutes. I have no idea what's for dinner tonight. None. Now, my question for you is, what are you going to have for dinner? And you probably asked your wife at like 8:13 this morning.
We are having steak and some potatoes, my friend. That is our dinner this evening.
Good for you.
I'm going to put it on the grill. Hopefully she's going to mash those potatoes up. It's going to taste great. I'm going to get a little bit of potato and a little bit of meat in every single bite. I'm going to have an unsweet iced tea without a lot of ice, but I'm going to put the ice in early enough that it's going to be melted, that when I chew it, it kind of mushes between my teeth, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
Break, but it kind of like mushes, like snow that you're packing into a snowball. That's what I'm going to do for dinner tonight. That's the way the game is played, sir.
Good for you. I can't remember the last time I knew what was for dinner until right before dinner.
It kills
I can't remember.
Because I always want to know, what are you eating for dinner? And every time I ask, you kick me right in the teeth.
I just have
same
no
thing
idea.
With like, hey, what are you doing today? You're like, well, we're gonna go upstairs and we'll look at each other. Like you never have a plan.
Yeah, because all we're doing is getting by. That's all this is with this home order and the kids and everybody yelling at us all the time. It's a zoo, and all we're trying to do is survive until the next time there's one.
All right, well, get after it. Enjoy your weekend, buddy. For Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. For Tommy and Star, we will chat with you on Monday. Chat.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.